Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The holiday period is in the books, but we are not stopping fantasy basketball coverage. We are coming back to you guys to recap the industry pickup week 10 and where we are sitting at, what we're doing with our fantasy basketball teams going into 2024. Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We're talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. He defies the ball.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three.
Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And today we are going again, you know, been a couple of weeks since we've done a show like this because of the holiday period and, you know, lots of things happening around Christmas and New Year's. But we are back to review myself and Adam King from Fantasy Basketball International reviewing the industry pickup league. And let's get the great man in here and talk to him about the industry pickup league. Adam, how are you, mate?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. Back to work tomorrow, so that's a negative.
And I'll
warn listeners, viewers, you are probably going to be far more chipper than me today when we're talking about our teams and our matchups.
Well, it's flipped this time around because last time we did do one of these podcasts was when we versed each other and you got the better of me, beating me,
yes,
I think, 5-4 that week. But it's been 2 weeks since then, and the luck has flipped around the other way, which is, I guess, sometimes the way that fantasy goes, but I'm sure we'll get stuck into that in a second. How's your holidays been? How's Christmas and New Year's and everything been like that over at your place?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty relaxed. Didn't do too much. Went to my in-laws. They live a couple of hours away, so we were away for a few nights down there, but basically just hanging around home, doing some bits and pieces, some painting, a lot of yard work, that sort of thing. And then, as I said, back to work tomorrow, unfortunately.
I am the same, unfortunately. Straight back into the thick of things. But let's get off the holidays and talk about the industry pickup league. We'll recap. I'll throw it over to you. We'll get the bad taste out of our mouth first. Let's recap. Maybe we'll focus a bit more on last week, but just in general, over the last 2 weeks since we did one of these podcasts, how has the team fared from your point of view?
It's been a frustrating couple of weeks. So last the week before this one that we're going to talk about, I played Josh. Josh is still atop the standings despite losing this week. And looking back at it, I feel like I really missed an opportunity to win, because anyone who's been listening to this knows my team and knows what my strengths are. And I lost blocks and I lost rebounds to Josh's team. And I went through and looked at our block and rebound numbers from, well, this week just gone and previous weeks, and I would have beaten him in every other week.
So isn't that just shitty?
It was the 1 week Wembanyama didn't play, play Marchand. I can't remember exactly, but two categories that I really should have won, which would have given me a victory because he beat me 6-3, so I would have beaten him 5-4. So that was a frustrating week. And then this week,
yeah, I believe. So I'm just looking at your stats here, and the viewers can see it on the screen on YouTube. You had 38 blocks for the week, and I'm pretty sure you basically doubled that the week before when you versed me. You had 70 plus or something like that. So that's a wild dip from week to week.
I did, which is, and I had 52 this week. It was just a bad week in two categories. And then this week I played Dan Titus, who is last. And he beat me 5-4. Oof. And I won my categories. So I won my field goals. I won my rebounds. I won my blocks. I won my turnovers. So the categories that I should be winning, and then steals, which is the sort of that iffy category for me. We were close for most of the week, and then he just pulled away, and I'm looking through my roster now. And for the week, DeJounte Murray got 3 steals. Jalen Johnson got 1. Wembanyama got 1. Marcus Smart was good. He got 12. Drew Holiday got 2. Josh Giddey got none. Yusuf Nurkic got none.
Yep.
So just these guards that I'd be expecting to get me sort of 4 or 5 steals for the week got me nothing. And so I lost by about 10 steals. I was ahead until yesterday, I think, in steals.
I'm looking here at some of his players. Like, he's got Torian Prince, 6 steals for the week. Isaiah Hartenstein, 7 steals for the week. Yep. Some players that you wouldn't typically consider guys that are big steal players. Sort of pulling them out of nowhere. 3 steals for Bobby Portis. Larry Markkinen had the 4. He's not normally a big steals guy. So, it goes to show again in a lesson that, a lot of us have learned or are continuing to learn that those defensive stats, the blocks and steal numbers are very variable week to week, day to day, as well as season on season. So, difficult to rely on them on any given week, especially if, you need both at the same time, which is probably the case for both of our teams, which is always a fun experience.
Yeah, it was frustrating. So it was another week where I feel like I could have won. That would have made it 3 wins in a row if I'd beaten Josh and then beat. So, but luckily for me, Alex Rakhlin lost 7-2, and so I actually moved ahead of him in the standings this week despite losing. Is it top 8 make the finals? Can you confirm?
In this league, it is top 6 make it to the playoffs. I think you might be a little bit far out. So you're 17, and there seems to be a bit of a gap forming now. So there seems to be a pretty clear top 8 in this league now. So you've got Josh and Drew Dinkmeyer over at 1 and 2. They're kind of comfortably number 1 and number 2, looking like they're probably going to have that bye week in the playoffs, unless something major changes. Then you've got myself and Rhett Bauer. Rhett's at 3, I'm at 4. And there's a little bit of a gap between this big cluster of teams from 5. I think there's a 3-way tie actually for 5th with B-Dub, Noah Rubin, and Mike Cotrone at Watch the Boxes. All tied at 10.5 points behind. And then Mike Barner just 1 win away from that at 11.5 at 8. And then there's a gap between him with 11.5 games behind Josh to yourself at 17. So a bit of a tough gap to make up, especially considering how close a lot of the matchups are at this point of the year. Is this the point where you kind of go, I don't know, like, is there a Hail Mary play you can sort of consider? Or is it at the point sort of now where you go, I don't want to stuff the rest of the league up by doing something silly? Or what's your thought process here?
Yeah, look, I'm at that point where I need to make a decision of, if I want to push into the playoffs, I'm going to need some luck. Like, I'm going to need the teams above me to have some 7-2 losses or 8-1 or whatever it might be. So I'm going to need some luck, but maybe it is that I can give up some of my blocks to someone. Like, maybe I could look to trade someone like a Brook Lopez. I'm really hesitant to part with Chet or Wemby because they're just so much fun.
They're so dominant,
So maybe I could look to move Lopez and get a guard back, someone that gets me some steals and assists, because I have got Marcus Smart back now, and he has helped my assist numbers. Fultz is close.
He's perennially he's always on the cusp, and it feels like he's been close to being back for 2 weeks now, and he's just still not. Yeah, which is frustrating.
It is, yeah. So maybe I could do that. That's probably all I've got. I have managed to pick up some good waiver wire. I added DeLon Wright.
The big Drummond acquisition as well.
Yeah. Drummond has been amazing. Nick Richards has been good. Dayron Sharpe, other than today where he weirdly played like 8 minutes or something. I didn't see the game. I don't know why he only played 8 minutes. Maybe it was a matchup. I don't know.
But yeah, but Ness have been doing some funny things with their rotations, trying to sneak in some rest without actually resting players from the games played point of view. But yeah, it's but then all those guys you mentioned there, a lot of them like big guys, you know, the rebounds and all those other stats, but not, I mean, maybe Drummond a little bit more so than the others, but not necessarily the other guys contributing to your steals and assist numbers, which are those differentiating factors for you in a lot of these matchups.
Yeah, so I think that might be my play here, is that I might look to move Brook Lopez for a top 50 guard who can get me some steals and assists. So I'll go and hunt around and see who's available and who might need some blocks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably the level of play that I think you're probably going to have to make. But at the same time, you know, yeah, it will still take some luck. And I was starting to look at the standings today, and it does kind of seem like yourself, Raclean, Alex Berutha, and Dan Titus are sort of, you know, forming a bit of a pack down the back there, where it will take something pretty special to sort of get yourself back into it. Yeah. But crazy things can happen. I've managed, so since we caught up last time and I lost to you, I did some soul searching and went back and sort of had a stern talking to with a bunch of my players. And, you know, the theme of last time we caught up was injuries for my team.
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment, outside of this random Evan Mobley injury, which I got fleeced on the trade with, at least at the moment, my team more recently has been a bit more healthy, which has been a nice surprise. So I, in my most recent matchup, had a 7-2 victory over Alex Berutha, and the week before I had a 6-3 victory over B-Dub from Fantasy Basketball International. So I've at least beaten one Aussie so far this year, lost to yourself and Josh, but beat B-Dub. To reflect on that matchup first, there was a point where I was deciding or not whether I can push it to a 7-2. There was a scenario that if I'm on the final day, if I started Scoot Henderson over a, who did I start? I think it was Wendell Carter Jr. I would have got, he had 3 steals on the last day. I ended up losing by 2 steals and winning by 2 turnovers. He had, I think, 3 turnovers to Wendell's 1 or 2 or something like that. I would have just scraped through at 7-2, but at the end of the day, I'm still pretty happy with a 6-3. I ended up benching Fox and Sabonis on the final day to secure the win in turnovers. I thought I would do that rather than chase the 2 steals that I would have lost, and I think that ended up being the right decision in the end, which made the difference between a 5-4 and a 6-3. And then this week, going up against Berutha, my team just suddenly turned into one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league. I don't know what happened, but by far my best three-point volume shooting for the week. I hit 72 threes this week, and I think the week I versed you, I barely scraped to 30. So, going to take that. Yeah. Going up against Alex's team, who's a very heavy punt bigs team, I do think I got a little bit lucky. Maybe Alex was caught up in a bit of holiday celebrations, because there was a few times that he left a few, you know, good players on the bench there. Namely, it was a Julius Randle and Dennis Schroeder missed a couple of big games from them, and he was, you know, a bit short on the games played limit. So I don't know. Maybe his you know, priorities are not quite on this team at the moment. I benefit as a result there, but I did have a pretty good week and the team is looking pretty nice with a few healthy players going on at the moment. So yeah, that was sort of my recap of the matchup. Moving forward, who have you got next week? Actually, we'll start there.
So I've actually got, I've already looked at this. So I've got Mike Barner next week. So he's 8th, I'm 9th. And as you said, there's a bit of a gap there. There's about 5 games between us. So this week is, in theory, an opportunity for me to close that gap. If I could somehow get a 6-3 win, it feels unlikely with my build, but then I could close to within 2 games of him, and then maybe one of B-Dub, Noah, or Mike Catron can have a nice hefty defeat. Maybe I can just close that gap to sort of 2 games instead of 5 or 6. So it's sort of a key week, I think, for me, and I'm already looking at trade targets while we're talking.
Yeah. Well, the good news for you is that there are some big matchups this week with some of the better or teams at the top versing some of those teams that are in your way with myself going up against Noah. So I'll do my best and I'll pull one out for you, King, and I'll try and see if I can beat Noah with like a 6-3 or a 7-2 for you. And then Rhett Bauer is going up against Mike, who obviously Rhett's up the sort of the top third place at the moment as well. So hopefully for yourself there, that can be two teams that maybe get a loss and if you get a win. But I do think as well, you do have to try and strive for those 6-3s more so than the 5-4s, because at this stage, I'm not sure if that's going to move the needle or not. Is that something that you're considering in terms of like not settling for those 5-4s and you know, potentially risking losing in trying to go for a 6-3 win as opposed to a 5-4 win?
Yeah, well, I guess that's a risk, a slight risk if I take by trying to move Brooke Lopez, is it really brings my blocks down to Wemby and Chet, and that's it. I've only got two players to fall back on. So it doesn't really impact my rebounds a whole lot, because Lopez tends to not get more than about 5 or 6 rebounds a game. So I am potentially risking blocks here to try and get steals and assists over the line. Fultz being back would be nice this week, but as you said, he's been questionable or close for about 3 weeks now and still hasn't.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Played. So, yeah, look, there's maybe a little bit of risk here, but if it can get me a 6-3 victory, then that would be nice. But given how this season's gone, I'm not confident at all.
Yeah, it will be a tough bit of an uphill battle, but that does sound like, you know, the plan that's laid out in front of you, and whether or not it works out, I do think that logic stays pretty sound. As for my team, this week I'm looking ahead, and it seems as though we've got a very busy schedule in the NBA. A lot of my top-end players have 4 games, so I'm going to have to make a lot of decisions in terms of starting or benching some of my guys. So, for example, Fox, Scottie Barnes, Giannis, Sabonis, Derek Lively, all play 4 games. Players like Suggs, Bradley Beal, who's been back, finally playing decent basketball. Aaron Gordon, his team's playing 4 games. I don't know if he's back from his, you know, dog savaging him.
I think he plays tomorrow.
That was one of the weirdest injuries I think I've ever read. Randomly, I was like, oh, okay, that's an interesting one. But he might be back, and he has 4 games. Scoot's been playing a lot better. He's got 4 games. I've got a lot of players with 4 games. So for me, it's going to be I'm probably not going to be streaming very much this week, but more so a lot of agonizing decisions on to whether or not I play certain players. I do believe I'm going to be pretty comfortable in blocks, rebounds, field goal percentage, which I normally am most weeks. So it's going to come down to whether or not I can get him in points. Scored pretty well this week. I was towards the top, I want to say. Yes, I was fourth in points scoring. I would have beat Noah fairly comfortable this past week, but he also didn't have Joel Embiid play at all this week, I want to say as well. So it will come down to how healthy Embiid is. But if I can get points, steals, and assists, that would give me a nice 6-3 victory there, which is, I think, a possibility. But it's whether or not I'm looking to chase that or not to really lock myself in, or if I want to concede, you know, scoring or something like that to, you know, maybe play a Chris Paul over a Bradley Beal, or play, you know, one of those types in terms of like consolidating my go-to stats. That's kind of the decision that I have to make this week, and whether or not I'm going to be greedy or not. We'll sort of let the first part of the week sort of play out and see how things go early on, and I think that'll help me dictate my decision.
Yeah, it's a weird schedule this week. It's very, very high-low. So I think there's a 12-game slate, a 14-game slate, and then there's a 2-4 and a 6.
Yeah.
So they're the days when we're going to have to look at who do I bench, and then on those low-volume days, do I play no one so that I can play a full roster the next day? And it'll be much the same for me. I'll see how the week goes the first half of the week and then have a look at where I'm close, where I'm, if I'm not even close in assists, I won't bother playing my guards. But Fantrax do the projected standing or projected scoring kind of thing, where you can look at what it thinks the result will be for the week. And I sort of deduced this from looking at my team and Mike's team and our, where we're sitting in terms of season stats. And I think we're pretty close. Like, this week could be an opportunity, as I said, for me to win 6-3. But on the flip side, he could also win 6-3 or 7-2 because we're pretty close in percentages, rebounds, steals. I should get blocks. So there'll be a couple of categories where it'll be like this week, it could be if my guards just decide not to get any steals and he has someone who just pulls six steals out of their backside, then that could be the difference.
Yeah, 100%. It could be the difference. I'm just looking at Mike's team here at the moment as well, and looks pretty healthy outside of the injury to Darius Garland, who is still probably not supposed to play this week. So, yeah, I think both pretty even from that front, with him missing Garland, you missing Markel Fultz. So pretty even and fair matchup, I would say. I'd expect Drew Holiday. He's got the little red flag against you. I expect him to be back the next game, you would hope. I do believe the Celtics play three games that week, so we'll see there. Do you know any news about what's going on with Joel Embiid? Is he back as of next game?
I haven't heard on him. I'm not too sure.
He's missed four straight in a row.
Whether he's back, yeah. There's a few players. I know Jabari Smith has been upgraded to questionable for tomorrow, so that's an indication that he's back either tomorrow or the next game. Yeah, a few players seem to be dealing with this illness that's going around and is keeping them out for multiple games. Donovan Mitchell missed almost 2 weeks, I think, a week and a half. Anthony Simons has already been ruled out for tomorrow with an illness. They're very clear on saying this is not COVID, but are they just saying that because the players aren't testing?
I don't even know why we need to do this thing anymore. I don't know. They're sick. All right, cool. They're sick. They're too sick to play. That's cool. We get that. But yeah, anyway, I digress. I do think, so one thing I do want to touch on before we sort of wrap it up on this one today is just sort of the value of, you know, now that we've got sort of, what have we had, 10 weeks so far into the season, especially if you're in a competitive league such as the one that we're in now with people who are all very switched on and matchups often coming down to the wire. I do want to use this moment to sort of stress the importance of, like, if you're by no means guaranteed to make the playoffs or anything like that in the league you're in, the importance of, like, pushing for every single, like, category win possible. So, for example, it's something I've been very conscious of, that even if I am going to go down, you know, and lose a week, or if I'm pretty confident I'm going to win at least 5-4, not selling for that and still trying to stay on top of trying to make sure that I'm getting that instead of a 5-4 win, I try and push for a 6-3. If I'm going to lose, but I'm trying not to lose 3-6, I'll try and get that fourth category and make sure that I'm staying in the hunt there. And I think so far, you know, my record is I'm probably close to 500 in terms of wins and losses. I think I've lost to maybe three or four teams so far this year. But I've had a few wins where I've won 6-3 and this last one 7-2. And I've only had one week where I think I've lost worse than a 4-5. So for the most part, I think that is a big part of keeping yourself afloat in a competitive league like that. That is a... I always get confused. Each category league.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it is. That's right. And in these competitive leagues, it can one big win can make a big difference. In another competitive league that I'm in, I was eighth coming into the week. I won 7-2, and I'm now fourth. So I've jumped way up the standings. And it's similar, as you've said, in our league. There's a bunch of teams there, so there's an opportunity for a team that's sitting seventh or Mike, for example, this week, who's eighth, if he has a big win and a couple of those teams above him have a big loss, then he could open up a sort of a two or a three game gap between him and move into fifth or sixth. So, and if another thing I'd sort of say, and this is, I guess, probably more related to leagues that are slightly less competitive, but be aware of your opposition and who you're playing, because if you're up against someone who is notorious for not setting their lineup or benching, like playing the wrong players or whatever it might be, you can sneak categories. So you can have a look and go, I'm going to win these categories pretty easy. So bench some players, win turnovers, because if they're not playing players, they're obviously not going to get a lot of turnovers. So just have a sort of pay attention to what your opponent is doing. And don't always just go gung-ho and load up your roster, because there are or there can be an advantage sometimes to bench, as you said, in that matchup where you had to win turnovers, you bench some players.
Yeah. It's the difference between a 5-4 win, a 6-3 win. Like I still was going to win at the end of the day, but I wanted to make sure that I got that extra category point, because at the end of the season, it might be the difference between making the playoffs or not in a league like this.
And I get asked on Twitter, I'm sure you do, people will say, is if someone is benching players to win turnovers, is that cheating?
Oh, like, hell no. That's
no, it's part of fantasy. It's how it all works. So don't ever feel guilty or bad for doing it.
Nah.
If your opponent is not setting their lineup and it looks like you're going to have 10 more games than them, just have a look and, hey, I'm going to win these categories easily anyway. Just bench some of your sort of lower guys to try and stay competitive in turnovers or percentages. It can work for percentages as well.
Yeah, 100%. And especially in a week like this when we've got some, and in leagues like ours where you've got the games cap format, you know, looking at your opponent, and like I knew I was going up against Alex Barutha this week, and I was going to dominate him in rebounds. Like I doubled him in rebounds this week. I thought I'd win more handily in blocks, but you know, Brandon Ingram decided to become a block monster this week. But outside of like those two categories and field goal percentage, I knew I was going to walk all over him in those, because he's a heavy punt field goal big team. I'm a heavy punt free throw team, so we're kind of polar opposites in that point of view. So when it came to start sit decisions, like I was sitting players like Derek Lively, I was sitting players like Onyeka Okongwu and these guys that typically, if I was to look at my team, they would be, you know, the best players on my team, but their rebounds and blocks had far less value to me. So I'm playing players like Chris Paul or like a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who I played it a few times, to get those extra steals, to get those extra threes where I thought I could get an extra category win, when, you know, in a different matchup, I would choose to do other players on top of them because I might have no chance of winning threes. All those kind of things, especially like when you've got 12 and 14 game days and you've got to make decisions on who's on your starting roster and who's on the bench. A lot of the times, they might be different in ranking, but the worst ranked player might be better in that matchup than the guy who's a better ranked player. So do always consider that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else that you wanted to, any more wisdom you want to impart onto these people? Or actually, another question I'll have for you. Is there anything that you regret sitting now where you are at the moment? Do you feel like you maybe could have moved on from like an Asar Thompson or some of those other guys a little bit earlier to keep you a little bit higher up the standings? Or is there... You know, with the, you know, hindsight now, is it something you wish you would have done prior to the spot you're in now to maybe push yourself up a bit higher in the standings?
Yeah, look, probably the Asar one is probably the obvious one. I did drop him this week, and that was probably just a bit of stubbornness. He was so good to start the season. I was just holding out hope that Detroit would sort of experiment a little bit and then come back to him, but they haven't done that. He's barely playing.
They were so desperate to get that win.
And I still do think that he will have value again this season. I think whether it's February or March, there's going to be a period where he's playing 30 minutes again. I don't know when it comes, but I've had to move on from him.
He's on my watch list.
Yeah, I think put him on your watch list. And I've been telling people for weeks to drop him, but then been holding him myself. I have moved on from him. There are some regrets and go back as far as draft day and say, I probably could have drafted or it was a snake draft. So I probably, there was some players I probably could have gone a little bit higher for, and maybe like Josh Giddey, that's a regret. I didn't really need to get him, but that's hindsight, and it's a competitive league, so it's a hard league. Everyone knows what they're doing.
Small little slip-ups can be a big difference in a league like this. I think it is always good to reflect, though, in terms of like in different situations. Like if you were Josh's team and you had Asar Thompson, then you can hold him on. But I do think this is a point that I do sometimes stress. And when people ask me questions, a lot of the times I'm, where are you sitting in your league? Like, what is this person, can you afford to hold it? Is your league competitive? Like, how likely are you to make the playoffs? These questions are all very important for me to ask to give you the best, most accurate response, because in your situation, holding Asar, in my opinion, probably was something that needed to be dropped a few weeks ago. But if you're in Josh's position, you can afford to wait, and in case things flip, you haven't dropped someone who's going to be really valuable. But if you're sort of in this pack where you're fighting to make the playoffs, you can't afford to risk something completely falling apart for the chance that it comes off. Whereas if you're sitting up the top here, as one of these top two guys are, you can afford to wait on some of these guys, and that's shown by, Josh picking up a player like Jordan Poole, whereas, you and I probably weren't considering adding him when he was dropped because it was just a bit risky and we needed that immediate certain production right now.
Yeah, and I think another guy that I held maybe a little bit too long, not as much or as obvious as Asar Thompson, is Kyle Lowry. I held him for a while, and that's because I was just desperate for those assists and steals, and he has been doing that, but he's had some injuries and he hasn't been as good in the last 3 weeks or whatever. So he's probably someone I could have moved on from a little bit earlier as well.
Yeah, for sure. That will probably do it for us today, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you have any questions, please drop them down in the comment section below. Let us know what your thoughts are on the industry pickup league in general. Do you think that I've got what it takes with a healthy roster and hopefully a healthy Evan Mobley come playoff times if I can make it to take it out? I'm crossing my fingers that those things all can come true. But make sure you guys drop a thumbs up on the video here. Hit subscribe if you're watching over on YouTube and on the podcast, wherever you are listening. And we'll be coming at you with another video going through some buy lows and sell highs shortly. And I'll see you then. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.